Hi, folks. Steve Urban here, host of the Riderflex podcast and founder and CEO of our day job recruiting firm, Riderflex. We hope you enjoy this episode. And as a reminder, please subscribe to the podcast for updates and news. Finally, if you haven't already, check out the series of books we've published on hiring, interviewing, and overall career advice titled The Riderflex Guide, available on Amazon. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Most homeowners don't have the time or expertise to properly take care of their home, which causes costly issues to arise. That's where Kura Home Maintenance comes in. We're a full-service, routine maintenance company that was developed by a certified home inspector. Each quarter, we service our clients' homes following manufacturers' recommendations to properly maintain all the necessary appliances. We provide the materials and expertise to prolong the life of your property, creating a healthy and efficient environment for your family. From top to bottom, we'll maintain and service your home. To get started, we have a property inspection to determine what needs to be maintained, and a maintenance plan is created based on your preferences. From refrigerator coils to filters, vents, and drains, we do it all, and we do it well. Contact us today for your free routine maintenance inspection. And never worry about your maintenance again.
Alexis McKinley on the Riderflex podcast. Hello, Alexis. How are you?
Hello, I'm well. How are you?
Very nice to have you on the show. Appreciate you coming on here and sharing your journey. I think it's going to be inspirational for a lot of people. Let's start with childhood. Let's start with mom, dad, where you grew up, where you went to high school, siblings. Give me some early background there.
Okay. Childhood is a lot. I was bounced back and forth between my mom and my grandparents. I didn't meet my dad. So I didn't really have a dad in my life. I was basically raised just by my mom and my grandparents. My mom wasn't the best role model, but my grandparents are amazing. They instilled in me morals. They taught me right from wrong. So despite everything that I went through later in life, which we'll get to, I did know right from wrong.
Are they still with us, your grandparents?
My grandma is. I haven't talked to my grandfather for a while, but I talk to my grandma all the time.
Okay. Is she in Colorado?
She's in Washington.
She's at Washington State?
State. Yeah, that's where I was born.
Okay. You still talk to your mother?
She is currently in prison.
Okay. Sorry. Didn't mean to jump ahead. Okay.
No, you're fine. But schools, I went to a lot of schools. If we're just talking high school, I went to about four or five high schools just alone, and I only made it to the 10th grade.
Wow. That's like two high schools your freshman year and two high schools your sophomore year. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Your mom did move around a bunch. Did you have any siblings, half siblings, step sibling, anything?
I had a stepbrother lived with us. I had a stepsister that visited a little bit. And then I have two half brothers that I was only with my youngest half brother for maybe the first 2 years of his life, if that. I actually ran away when I was a teenager. I ran away and actually ran down to my stepdad's house in the Springs, and then started living with my grandma because it just wasn't a healthy environment in my home. It was filled with drug addicts and not healthy for a kid. It was very abusive, hostile. So I took myself out of it.
Your grandmother must have lived in Colorado Springs at the time then.
She did. I was actually in Palmer Lake and went from Palmer Lake, walked all the way to Monument, which is about 3 miles, to have my stepdad come pick me up to take me down to the Springs.
How many times was your mom married?
One time married, but in a relationship, there was two steady people that I would consider a male influence in my life. And then one that was kind of shifty. So about three altogether that were in and out.
Your stepdad, though, was a good guy?
My stepdad is a good guy. I still talk to him.
Okay, very good. How long were they married?
They're still married, I believe. Maybe actually, I think he just filed divorce papers last year, so they may not be married anymore. But they were married since I was eight.
Yeah, but you said you ran away from home and went to stay with him. Were they separated at the time or something?
They were separated. Yeah,
I
they
see.
separated. Like I said, childhood is very, it's a lot. There's a lot.
That's okay. That's okay.
We were living in Washington, and I remember it was New Year's night. I was sleeping, and I guess they had gotten into a huge fight. Cops got called, everything. And we ended up leaving him and driving up to a different town in Washington, and then driving to North Dakota and coming down to Colorado. And that was when I was about, it wasn't, they weren't married that long. So I think I was nine, almost 10 when that happened.
And they came to, your
But
mom came to
he stayed.
Colorado, your mom came to Colorado because that's where her mother was.
Yeah, she flew us out here.
I see. Okay. Do you know who your blood father is? Like, have you done like 23andMe or any of this stuff? Like, do you know who this person is?
I do actually. We do talk. I met him when I was, let me remember the correct age because it was a while ago now. Maybe 25 or 26. I drove up to Washington. He's living in Washington and I met him. So I guess I actually have another half brother, but on my father's side, who after I got out of prison the first time, he and my dad had been searching for me. They don't live together, but they kind of were communicating and searching for me. Found
Interesting.
my grandfather, who came to the halfway house and said that I had family that was looking for me, and have stayed in communication since then. And so, yeah,
And you
I still
still,
talk
okay. All right. Do you talk to your half brother?
every once in a while.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's wild. Did he know? Did your dad know that you existed?
He did. And I asked him kind of why he didn't try to fight with
Sure.
me.
That would have been my first question. Like, yo, man, hey. How come you didn't look for me?
He
And
said he did try.
you didn't try hard enough. Did you say you didn't try hard enough?
So, and I don't know, there's always two sides, three sides to a
Yes,
story,
of
really.
course,
There's
of
one
course.
side, the other side, and then the truth. So I don't know which side is telling the truth, which side isn't. Obviously, I was very young, so I don't remember any of this. He said that he had attempted to want to go into the legal battle with my family. I was, you know, my grandparents had adopted me at that time,
I see.
and they didn't like my father. I don't know. My dad said something about because he was a black belt in karate and they thought he was a gangster. I don't know. I don't know the full story. That's just what I'm getting. But that he really wasn't, he just didn't want to go into this big legal battle. He would wait until I was old enough and go from there.
Old is your real father now?
That's a really good question. That would require some math. I want to say, and I could have this wrong, maybe when my mom was 16, he was 19, and that was 40 years ago. So
56, he's my age, 56,
about
57,
60, yeah.
almost 60. Okay. It's so hard to get real, true information out of older parents and older grandparents. Like my mom at 80, like trying to get her to tell the real story about any topic, it's watered down, it's more rosy than it really was or whatever, right? And it's like, mom, can you just please just give me the true story? Like, it's super hard.
Well, and
Anyway,
then everybody remembers everything different, right?
that's true, man.
So, like I said, there's one side of the story, there's another side of the story, and then there's the truth. And I may never find out what the exact truth was. It's okay. I made it through what I made it through,
Okay.
and I'm here
So
now to be able to talk to him. So,
let's go back to middle school and junior high, which is probably when you started getting in trouble, I'm guessing.
kind of, yeah. My first time I was in trouble. I believe I was in middle school. I don't remember exactly what age.
Eighth or ninth grade, somewhere in there. You
But
started.
yeah, I got caught shoplifting.
Okay. Was that the first big thing you did that you can remember? Okay.
It was the very first thing that I was ever really in trouble for.
Now, at the time, your mom was living a wild life and doing, was it crazy at home? Like when you're in ninth grade, was it like just crazy at your house?
It was, and parents try to hide the fact that they're doing drugs, but kids know. You know something's not right. You know it's not right for people to stay up all night and sleep all day and supposedly make enough money to be able to support a family, especially back then, making $20 an hour, that was a lot of money. Not ever having any money.
What kind of drugs? You name it.
Meth, and I walked out on my mom's boyfriend doing crack once.
Wow. Okay. Did you tell your grandma? Did you go to your grandparents at the time of that's probably why they adopted you, because you went there and said, "Hey, this is messed up."
So my grandparents actually adopted me when I was very young. I don't remember the adoption, but I was very young. So all through this, my grandma's had custody of me. My mom never actually regained custody of me, but my
What were
grandma
you
knew.
doing? Then why were you at your mom's house with all this craziness going on? Why weren't your grandparents?
I had made the decision that I wanted to try living with my mom, and they respected that.
Because you wanted to live with your mom, because your mom lets you get away with more shit, basically.
Because I didn't know my mom. I had never lived with my mom. And so when I was either 7 or 8, I said, "Hey, I want to meet my mom. I don't know who this person is, but I know
Interesting.
it's my mom."
Do you, this is a big question. Do you, I'm sure you're thinking, if I would have stayed with my grandparents, maybe I wouldn't have gotten in as much trouble.
100%.
Wow. Yeah, that's, and I'm sure your grandparents probably have beaten themselves up over the years thinking, why did we let her go there? That was a major mistake.
Absolutely.
And we all make mistakes. I'm not crashing down on your grandparents for that. I mean, I've done a bunch of dumb shit as a parent in my life too. So we all do dumb things. But yeah, because boy, yeah. Man, looking back. Okay. Well, it is what it is. You went, so it happened. So your mom's living this crazy life. You're starting to get into trouble. First it's shoplifting, then what? Then what? Little drugs, some drugs, what else is going on there?
The next time I got in trouble was, I believe it was for possession of a controlled substance. And I think I was maybe 15 at the time. I was at a hotel room and I had already been doing drugs for a little while at that point. I started doing harder drugs when I was 14. And we were kind of, I wasn't really staying at home that often. I was kind of living with friends at that point. And so I was at a hotel room and it was a known drug hotel room. And the cops came and knocked on the door. And there we go. I got in trouble. And at that time, I was hanging out with adults. So, you want to fit in, you want to be cool. So you're like, eh, I'm a juvenile. I'll take everything. I won't get in as much trouble. So I did.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then what? Did you go to juvie?
I did go to juvie and I got put on probation. And at that point, my mom said, well, it wasn't really my mom. I believe it more was her boyfriend. Due to everything that was going on in the house, it was a meth lab. And they didn't want somebody that was being supervised to be at the house. So they kicked me out.
Why didn't you go back to your grandparents?
Because at that point, I was doing drugs and I didn't want to be limited. I had already been addicted at that point. When you're an addict, you don't
Yeah.
want to stop.
Last, yeah. The last thing you want to do is go to grandparents' house and follow rules.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Then what happens? You're living in juvie, you're living on the street, you're living with whoever.
Living with whoever. I
Dropped out
have
of school, dropped out of school, living with
dropped out of
whoever.
school. Yep. And I have lived under a bridge. I bounced around to people's houses. I learned how to sell drugs so I could have money. So I could kind of say, like, hey, I have what you want. So let me stay at your house.
Wow. And you're 16, 17, 18, something like all that right in there.
All of it. All of it. Yeah.
This is a
And
tough,
I
this is a tough
mean,
question. This is a tough question. I'm going to ask you this. Was the prostitution in there to stay alive and feed yourself to?
that is one thing I never did.
Okay.
And, people have different ways of thinking of things, but I And looking back on it now, I can't really say that I valued myself not to do that, but in the midst of everything, that's I valued myself to not do that.
Yeah.
I
So
was
you
selling
easily
drugs. I
could
was
have.
putting
You easily could have, and I'm sure lots of other females you were around at the time were doing some stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I hung out with pimps that would do that. And I'd try to talk to the girls. I would be like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you letting people talk to you like this? Why are you letting people devalue you like this? But yeah, I never did, and I'm very thankful.
Yeah, good for you. But you were selling and buying and selling drugs.
I was. And I mean, to throw a hammer and everything, I was also diagnosed with hepatitis C when I was 16 because I was shooting up at
Oof.
16.
Were you doing heroin? Were you doing everything?
Everything. I
Everything.
ecstasy,
You name it.
coke, meth.
You name
I
it.
tried heroin a couple of times. I didn't like it.
Did
I
you ever
didn't like
get bad
it.
enough where you had sores on your face or anything crazy?
Yep, I still have scars all over my chest. 100%.
Really? Wow. Well, you're so beautiful now. I mean, and it looks I'm married. Don't take that to don't.
You're fine. You're
My
fine.
wife's like right upstairs. Don't. I'm not like trying to be a weird old guy or anything.
No, you're fine.
Wow. Do you have scars on your face? I can't see any.
Not on my face. That healed up pretty well, and I'm happy for that. I have enough self-esteem issues with it on my chest. I want to think about getting like laser resurfacing something to cover that up. 'Cause how embarrassing when a kid comes up to you at a barbecue and says, "What's all over your chest?"
Has that happened?
Absolutely. So
Ooh.
embarrassing.
Ooh, man, that stings. Okay. Wow.
And I can't really say like, oh, I was a drug addict. Like, you don't want to introduce that into a little child's brain. So what do you say? Cigarette burns, chicken pox, something, whatever, something that they might
Oh,
know.
shit. Wow. Okay, so you are now fully, you're a full-blown addict. You're committing crimes to stay alive. You're living at whoever's house. When's the first time you got arrested? Arrested? Like you, yeah.
2 weeks after my 18th birthday.
What'd you do?
What I think that was another possession charge. And of course, I was absconded from probation. So I was now in adult jail. I did 6 months to kill out probation. And you would think, like, hey, 6 months, you're clean. You can stop,
You
right?
would, yeah. I mean, a commoner like me that doesn't know about addiction like that would think, yeah, that would help. No.
Nope. First thing I did when I got out is got high.
Were you able to get drugs while you were in?
No, I wouldn't trust it anyway. Like, that's one thing. Like, I don't know. That's very disgusting to me to think like how it's brought in. Again, it's disgusting now that I think about it, grown up sober for 10 years now. It's all disgusting.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
But
you
like
were doing all kinds of disgusting things. Yeah.
the way you think about things is different. And
Okay.
how
Yeah.
they get it in jail
Oh, yeah.
is
Yeah.
horrific.
Okay. All right. So you didn't do any drugs. So yeah, you would think 6 months. I mean, was it, by the way, was it with was the first 2 or 3 weeks without drugs when you first went in? Was that super hard? So, I mean,
I would say the first week I slept almost 24 hours a day. But then after that, like, sure. I mean, it takes, I want to, I don't remember the exact science around it, but I think it's like 18 months to get back to a normal, like, circadian rhythm, everything like that.
Okay.
But yeah, so
All
the
right.
first week I slept and I ate and that's it.
When you got out of jail after 6 months, did your grandparents, who picked you up?
My mom's boyfriend.
And he had drugs, and boom, you got high.
Yep.
Shit. Damn. And you went to your mom's house for a little bit?
I did not. I went to a hotel room for that night, and then I had actually met somebody in jail who it was kind of like her mom, but not really her mom, her street mom, I guess you could call it. She gave me
Okay.
her phone number, and that lady heard I was staying at a hotel room and said, absolutely not, come over.
Well, okay. All right. Anyway, you just go back to the life. You just go back to the, you went right back to the same life you had before.
Yep.
How were you getting cash selling drugs?
Selling drugs, breaking into cars. I hadn't started breaking into houses yet at that point. That came a little bit later, but yeah, breaking into cars.
You don't consider yourself a sociopath, do you?
looking back on everything that I did, I'm sure you could say that I had sociopathic tendencies.
I mean, I'm hoping you think that's a fair question because, some people that can break into things and not feel guilt. It's like, okay, I don't know. Yeah.
So, and kind of like you said, how somebody who's never really understood that lifestyle or been in it, like I said, I knew right from wrong, 100%. I knew what I was doing was wrong.
Okay.
But when you're in the midst of addiction,
You don't.
you'll do anything that it takes to get that.
Okay. You're not worried about the fact that you stole Sally's ring or
Not at
whatever.
that point. Now I feel like a piece of shit.
Now you do. But back then, you're just like, okay, cool. I can get my next fix.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're breaking into houses. You're stealing stuff. You don't care that you're on probation. You don't care that you could get arrested and go back to prison. Did you worry about going back to prison?
No.
You didn't even think, did you? What were you thinking at the time? Were you thinking, oh, if I go back to jail, no big deal. I get food, water, and shelter, so it's fine. Or what were you thinking?
Honestly, because at that point, I mean, like I said, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C at 16. I didn't care. I didn't care about life. I didn't care about living. I didn't care about anybody else at that point. I was on a death sentence.
I see.
Back then, you got to think like that's 24 years ago. At that point, that was a death sentence. You're gonna die.
I guess I haven't really let that sink in when you first said that earlier. Okay, so you're thinking I'm dead anyway. It doesn't matter. Okay. Well, that erases the fact that you might have had sociopathic tendencies. It's more like maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was just like, fuck it. I'm dying anyway, so who cares?
I didn't think, I honestly did not think that I would live to see 25. And once I did, I counted every day after that a bonus day.
I see. Okay. All right, so what happens? You're committing crimes, you're doing your thing. Let me guess. Now you get arrested again, and now you go to jail for a long time.
I got arrested 33 times from 18 to 29. So yeah, I got arrested again.
Jesus, 33 times. Okay. Well, a lot of those times I must have just kicked you loose. You didn't do jail time. They just were like, okay, go back to the street.
Friends bonded me out. I knew bondsmen that bonded me out. I mean, when you're in the life, you know everybody. Everybody gets high. Doctors, lawyers, bondsmen, everybody. Everybody does stuff.
Interesting. Let's take a pause right there. But this is going to be a fascinating conversation with my wife over dinner when we get done with this interview. Yeah, so I hadn't known that. Now that is something I have not thought of. At this point, at that stage, you're like, I know Dr. Brown, I know lawyer Johnny, I know bail bonds, all these guys, and I've done them favors, or I've got them drugs, or I know they're going to need drugs, so I'm going to do them a favor, I'm going to call. All this stuff's going on. All these relationships are happening. Wow.
I
Okay.
mean, I lived with a bounty hunter while being on the run from bail. And what do you do? You get him high so he doesn't take you to jail that day. Cool.
Okay. That's the best story so far. I'm sure there's gonna be some more good ones, but that's pretty good. You're living with the bounty hunter that's supposed to be looking for you. That's hilarious. I mean, it's hilarious now. I was sure it wasn't hilarious back then. Let's go ahead and get his name for the video. No, I'm just playing.
To be honest, I don't remember. That's another thing with addiction. Like everything that's happened, you're going so fast, always go, 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 go. Looking back, like it's a shame. I can't remember most of it.
Wow.
I remember the traumatizing things.
Yeah. What were some of the biggest traumatizing things that happened to you? Would you want to share one or two? I know you probably can't go over all of them, but what are a couple of major things that you want to share that happened?
I would say one of the biggest, I was involved in a situation where we had stolen a lot of very high value things and some people were looking for us. So the group of us went up to Wyoming. I learned very quick that Wyoming people do not play.
Yeah, first of all, did you know there are more gun owners in Wyoming than any other state in the country?
You would think it's Texas, but
No, it's not Texas. No, pretty sure Wyoming outranks Texas, believe it or not. And anyway, go ahead. So you go up there.
So anyway, we had met up with some people, and in the midst of, I would say all of this happened in a month's time. Somebody that I knew had gotten into a police chase and ended up killing himself 1 mile away from me after I was supposed to pick him up. After that, I started hanging out with somebody who acted like one of the good guys. And you would like you hear, oh, this man's a woman abuser, but you think like, oh, it won't happen to me, right? I'm different. You're not. He held me hostage and stole everything that I had and basically said that he would cut me from down there to my throat and nobody would ever look for me. And
Wow.
basically, after that, the people that I was involved in the heist from, I got robbed from them and beat, and that was a very traumatizing situation. I still have a hard time with that one.
Yeah, I bet. And let me guess, you can't call the police because this is one of those situations where you're a criminal, they're criminals. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Run? Did you run away? Did you go back to Colorado? What'd you do?
So I ended up kind of playing a trick on him, like grabbing my keys and saying, "Oh, I think I left my cigarettes in the car." And it was my car, so I took my keys, I went out to my car, and I just left. I left everything that I had there and left
Wow.
and got out of that situation.
Jesus. Okay. Holy cow. Well, you weren't ever, he didn't rape you. He did. You didn't want to talk about that, and I brought it up. Okay. Jesus. All right. All right. That's, man, that's terrible. I feel terrible that happened to you. Okay. When did you end up, what was your longest prison stint? You said two major times, or was one of them the 6 months, or were there two bigger ones?
So the 6 months was jail. I did go to prison in 2005, and I was only in actual prison for 6 months. I got out. I had only had a 4-year sentence at that time. So then I got out, was on parole, did good, successfully completed parole, never a hot UA, was sober for 7 years.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And
Let's take a pause right there. How did you live? What were you doing for a job? How did you live?
I worked at U-Haul. I worked at a bagel shop. I did alcohol promotions.
Wow. Okay. You were actually getting your life together. What years, what time period was this?
From 2005 until 2012.
Like a little 12. All right.
12
So
is
you
when I
had,
started getting high again.
okay. So, but you had a period here where you were doing good. Did you have a relationship again with your grandparents, or were you starting to put your life together, so to speak, a little bit?
I was. And
Any
then
relationships or marriages or boyfriends or girlfriends or anything in there personally?
I was married 2 times during that period. Once was not a very long marriage. They both actually weren't very long marriages. I say I was sober, but if I'm going to be really honest with myself, I might have just traded one addiction for another because I started drinking a lot.
What's a lot? Define a lot.
I would wake up and make a Crown and Coke. I would
Okay,
drink
that's
Crown and
yep.
Coke all day.
Yep.
I would go to sleep drunk. I was an
Okay.
alcohol promotion model, so I got paid to drink. So I was drinking. I also was working as a bartender for a little while, and I was dating somebody after I had left my husband. I was dating somebody who was getting high. But
Not
then
a
you
good
think,
idea. Not a
yeah,
good idea.
no. But you think to yourself, like, I'm strong. I can do it. I've been sober 7 years. Like, I'm not gonna get high. Like, no, I got high. We had ended up kind of getting into a little bit of a fight, and I was at the bar at that time, and I, of course, knew where to get it. It's a bar, like it's a biker bar. Everybody knows that it's there. So I said, fuck it, I'm gonna get high. And I
Yep.
did. And I would say,
Let me guess. It went like this. I'm just going to guess. It went like this. Right off the cliff.
right back to where I was, right exactly back to where I was, shooting up within a month, everything. And
Lost your job. Let me got fired. Whatever. Started having to do crimes again.
didn't even take me a year before I was in jail for a long, long time.
Okay, and how long did you go in that time?
I got arrested in November of 2013, and I did not get out until May of 2020.
7 years. Have you been clean since then?
I have for 10 years.
You got out when? Hold on, what year
I
did you get
got
out?
out. I got out May of 20, but since I
Oh,
got arrested
right.
in 2013.
I got you. Yeah.
November of
Okay.
2013, I've been sober since then.
You've only been out for 4 years, 3.5, 4 years. I'm sure
And
you're still ten. I'm sure.
I've been through some hard things already. My
I was gonna
youngest brother
say.
that I told you about committed suicide in prison. And I made it through that sober. Like that's hard. It's during the hard things that you really try yourself. You know, easy things, everybody can get through easy things sober, right? Because life is good. It's during the hard times that you really try.
And your mom's in prison now. Do you talk to her? Do you have a relationship with her?
She calls, and I've talked to her a lot about I'll be there for you as long as you're helping yourself. But if I find out that you're getting high again, like I won't have any communication with you. I won't have that in my life.
Do you ever have a conversation with her where you're like, "Damn you, I'm fucked up like this because you,"
No,
any of
because
that?
it's not because of her. Maybe in the beginning, and maybe all the trauma that went through my life. But I still knew right from wrong, and I still made the choices that I made. I don't blame anybody. I made those choices.
Okay. Do you get tempted on a regular basis?
Nope.
How do you not get tempted? How are you not tempted?
I don't hang around anybody that uses.
Well,
I
that's a
don't
good
want to
sign.
hang around anybody that uses. I saw my mom one time before she went to prison. We went out to dinner. I knew she was about to go to prison. And so I was like, hey, let's go out to eat. And her boyfriend was there and he was high as a kite. And it was just, ugh, like I just got the ick. I got cringy, like, ugh. Like
Yep.
I thought to myself, I really used to look like that.
I bet you can sense a drug addict from 3 blocks away.
100%.
Yeah, I bet you can. Yeah, absolutely. The marriages, I want to ask you about the two marriages. Just too many scars, too much baggage.
My first marriage, it wasn't really healthy. We fought a lot. Like I said, I was drinking a lot at that time.
Okay.
And so we
Is this
really
before?
fought.
Wait a minute. No, wait, hold on. Yeah. This is before you did the 7 years. That's right. Yeah. All right. You were drinking a lot.
And
Okay.
so we fought a lot. We weren't healthy for each other. It was getting to the point to where it had gotten physical.
Okay.
At one point, he wouldn't let me leave the house, kind of locked me in a basement. I fought my way to get out. I bit him to get out of that situation. I ended up going to jail for that.
Oh,
I was on parole at the time. But even my parole officer was like, if you plead guilty, you're done. I listened to the 911 call. I had called 911 and drove myself to the police station while he was chasing me up I-25. And because he had marks on him, I went to jail.
wow. What happened on the second marriage?
The
Second
second
marriage.
marriage, he was actually in the military. And he had gotten shipped over to Korea and everything was good for a while, but then he kind of got jealous tendencies. Like I said, I was doing alcohol promotions, and I had somebody that wanted to do a model shoot with me. He had went on to the model photographer's website, saw that they did nude photography. I would never do nude photography. I just have too much self-esteem things going on with my body. Like I won't do that. But the fact that he does do nude photography, he kind of went on that photographer's website, started saying all kind of crude things. And I just kind of broke it off from there. Like at
Okay.
that point in my life, I could turn off a switch really quick. And so I don't
Oh.
even think it was real love
Okay.
because you can't walk out of a situation just like, whatever, I'm done. I'm never going to talk to you again, kind of stuff. But I did.
Okay. And now, today.
Now I am married, to my best friend. He has been my best friend for 21 years through all of the good, all of the bad, everything. He's seen it. He is also a recovering addict.
I was just about to say he had to have been an addict back then. Yeah. Okay.
He has been sober a little bit longer than I have. He actually went through a therapeutic community. I don't know if you know TC. It is a very intensive kind of a lot of people have mixed beliefs on it. They'll say it's brainwashing, whatever the case may be, but it's like tear you down to bring you up, kind of like the military.
Okay.
So he went through that. He graduated. I actually met him the very first time I went to jail when I was 18. He was in jail.
Yeah, but women and men aren't in the same cell, are they? How'd
We are
that
not.
happen?
I went through a, it's called, what was it called? Something of the Rockies. It was a kind of rehabilitation
I
within
see.
jail that
I
has you
see.
do classes. And then after the classes, you can get out and work in the community. It's kind of like work release, but they take you there,
Okay.
they bring you back. It's all at the same place. And
Okay.
I met him there.
I see. All right. And you're married to him now. What's he do for a living?
He works at a salvage yard as a supervisor in the dismantling area. Hard work. I worked there for 6 months. It's hard.
Oh, I bet. Okay. And how long you guys been married?
Since May of 21,
Any kids?
no kids.
Does
I
do either one
actually
of
lost a baby. I lost a baby in 2021.
with your current husband? Yes. Are you going to try? Are you going to try again?
I mean, we tried, but I only have a 50% shot. They took out half of everything that I need.
Did you
It
do
was
that when you
really.
lost you did you do that when you lost the baby or before?
It was when I lost the baby. I had an ectopic pregnancy. I didn't know I was pregnant. Everything was, and this might get too into the nitty-gritty. I'm sorry, too much
That's
information
okay.
for
No,
men.
please, it's okay.
I had a normal period, and then a week, so I didn't even know I was pregnant because everything was normal. And then a week later, I started bleeding again, which isn't normal, and I was in a lot of pain, and I was confused, and I still made it through the work day, and the next day I was like, I can't do this. Like, I need to go to the emergency room. And I did, and they didn't let me leave until I went to surgery.
Damn.
Yeah, they said I could have died. So,
Wow. Now, how do you mind me asking how old you are now?
I turned 40 this year.
Okay. And your husband?
He just turned 47. The math, he just had a birthday. So I'm like, is it 46 or 47? He was born in 77.
He never had any kids before.
Nope.
Okay. Well, you could still, I mean, okay, yeah, you're 40 and now you got, okay, yeah, you could always adopt.
Yeah, if they'll adopt to someone like me.
It's a good point, yeah.
That's what a lot of people don't take into consideration. Like, and I get it. I take full accountability for what I did, but what I did, I've also messed up a lot of things that I may want later in life.
Yeah, I bet there's a, I don't know what all the rules are on adoption, but can you have felonies? Can you have, I don't know what all those rules are. I have no idea.
I don't even.
Yeah, okay. You have dogs, cats?
I have two dogs.
Okay.
They are so sweet. They're both rescues, kind of. Okay, so one of them is definitely a rescue. We got her from the shelter. About a week after our other dog died of cancer, we put our other dog down because he just wasn't it no quality of life. So we got our pit bull Nova. She's our little dog. She's about 35 pounds. And then we were out walking her. And
35. Did you just say a little dog, 35 pounds?
when you hear the weight of my other dog, yes, you will say that the little dog. So we were out walking her and we saw this huge dog, nobody around, a bark collar, a too tight prong collar, jumping at squirrels. And the people in the park were asking if it was our dog. We were asking if it was their dog. Nobody knew whose dog it was. So we said, if she's still here in 30 minutes, we will come back and get her. So we did. We took off the prong collar. We took off the bark collar. We threw that away in the trash. Other than those things that I may not agree with, she didn't really appear to be abused. She was well fed, not skin and bones, 85 pounds. But we took her to the shelter because we don't know. Family might be looking for
Yeah,
her. I mean, I
should be
know
chipped.
I
She could
would
be
freak
chipped or whatever.
out.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sure.
And she wasn't chipped.
Okay.
We said if nobody comes back for her, we will. And we did.
Oh, cool. All right, that's good. Well, you got two babies at home, for
Not
sure.
so much little. Yeah, two
Yeah,
babies. We'll see.
right.
And then my best friend also lives with us and she has a cat.
Your best friend lives with you. Did she do prison time, your best friend?
She did.
And that's how you met her?
It is.
How is she a former addict?
She is not.
What's she do prison time for?
That is not really my story to tell.
Okay, fine. We'll have to get her on the
Yeah.
podcast.
Yeah.
But she's obviously not married or anything. Are you helping her out because she needed a place to live?
She did need a place to live, but I mean, we kind of talked about it that that's my best friend and she can stay here as long as she wants to stay here.
That's cool. Good for you. Did you meet her in prison?
I did. I
Cool.
did. And she's one of the coolest, loyalest, most down-to-earth people I've ever met.
That's so awesome. So the 7 years, I guess I don't know if you're rehabilitated, so to speak, but I guess it puts you straight. I don't know. Was it do you are you glad it happened now with the 7 years, or do you think
Prison
it
saved my life. I don't have anything bad to say at prison. And I know people that you talk to, they'll have mixed feelings and they might not feel as positive about prison as I do. I went into prison a very angry person.
Oh, I
I
bet.
hated the world. I hated myself. I hated everything. I was acting out. And it actually took, there was two officers, one specifically that I still talk to sit me down and listen to my story. They knew my mom because my mom's been in and out of prison multiple times.
Jeez.
So they, one of them just sat me down and he would just talk. He would just talk to me like a person. And then the other one, he's a lieutenant. He asked me about my story. And so I told him all of my story. He says, I don't get it. You're personable. You're very well spoken. You, this, like prison, this isn't you. What do we need to do to help you out? What do we need to do to make sure you never come back? And he was always there. Like, I'm not gonna lie. There were times where prison is very frustrating and I'd act out or I'd lash out. It happens. I was never, was I don't think I was ever written up. But he helped me get into numerous programs. My case manager was on my side.
Wow,
Lieutenant
cool.
Murphy is the reason that I went into Breakthrough.
That's
He
great.
just, yeah, he helped me exponentially.
Wow, she some really good people trying to help you while you were inside.
Yeah, they're not all
That's
bad.
they're not. Yeah, that's good to hear, actually. That's really cool. And yeah, kudos to those folks that helped you. That's good. I'm glad you shared that, because all you hear is the bad stuff, Like
Yeah.
all the prison guards are terrible, or all the everybody's just trying to do whatever. I don't know. Did you get in fights? Did you have to do solitary, anything crazy? No. Okay. You didn't have to hurt anybody. You didn't have to join any gangs.
Oh gosh, no.
Is that just in the male prisons where they have to join these gangs? Well, I don't, you watch these damn TV shows. It's like I every time you watch something on a movie, it's like, is this shit real? I don't know. Is it?
I feel like the gang and the segregation is a lot more prevalent on the men's side. I don't really know about the women's side because I didn't really get into it that much. I mean, I don't know. Is it people just trying to want to fit in or create a gang? Or I don't know. I don't know about the women's side, and I don't want to talk negative about anything that may have been going on, but I wasn't a part of it.
Okay. Did you have to get tattoos? You probably had any anyway. You didn't have to get a
Not
gang tattoo?
I did not get any tattoos while in prison, but I do have tattoos.
You didn't get any tattoos while you were in prison? Really? Okay. Wow.
God, no. So here's the thing. Back to the Hep C. In prison, they gave me the cure. I went through the Zepetier, which is
I
a Hep
see.
C, hepatitis C treatment.
I
And
see. I see.
I don't know if you know anything about that treatment, but it's
Not really.
expensive. It's like $1,000 per pill, and you have to take a pill every day for 12 weeks. So, like
Wow.
$84,000. I
Prison
got
actually really, prison really did save your life in
100%.
numerous ways.
Yeah, gave me a second chance all the way around.
How about that? Wow. What a success story. And now you've been at the same company. You've been at the same job since you got out, basically.
Almost, yeah, I went. So my first job was traffic control. So Breakthrough kind of teaches this job model of like an ABC job. Your A job is as soon as you get out of prison, you need something that's going to help you with bills, restitution, food, anything that you need. So that's called your anything job. I went to traffic control and I worked there for about 9 months. But traffic control isn't very lucrative in the wintertime. So hours kind of go down. But I busted my butt at that job. I was a laborer. I wasn't like I did the hard work of if you've ever seen traffic control, the trucks moving, people setting the cones off of the road and picking it up while it's moving, that was me.
Wow.
And so then after the winter time, I actually went to go work at the salvage yard, where my now husband works. And I worked there for about 6 months. I was the only woman. And I very quickly learned why I was the only woman, because it
Yeah,
is
right.
very, very hard. Engine parts are very heavy. I was actually working like shipping. So I was building pallets, I was driving the forklift, I was picking up engine parts, I was bringing them out to customers. And I can kind of brag a little bit, but my name is still known around that company, because when my husband brings over coworkers and they say, "Oh my God, you're Alexis," I guess it they have multiple people to do the job that I did.
How about that? At that time, by the way, your teeth and everything, you don't look like a former, you do not look like a former drug addict.
Thank you. I credit it to genetics.
Okay. At that time when you're at the salvage yard, I know we're over on time here. I know we need to wrap up. Were you thinking, I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay out of prison and keep my shit together? I don't care what I have to do. I'll lift engine parts. I don't care. I'll move street cones, whatever. Were you just in that mindset?
100%.
But you were tempted when your brother passed and you had some things, you've been tempted.
I won't say that I was tempted. I will say that it was a really hard time.
Okay.
You think that, yeah, you can drown your feelings, everything like that. But in my mind, what's that going to do? It's not going to take away the pain. I've went that route. I know that everything's there as soon as you get sober. Was
Okay.
it a very emotional and draining time? Absolutely.
Okay. You can't have alcohol now.
I have actually learned that I can have a drink. I stop at a drink. I don't go over a drink. I don't like the feeling of being drunk.
Okay.
I have learned self-control, I guess, is a way that you could put
That's
it.
great. That's great. So that's okay. Very good. No drugs, though. No marijuana.
Nope.
No.
No, I don't like that. That makes me feel like I'm in zero control and I just go to sleep.
Okay, very good. Wow, what have you thought about writing a book?
I have thought about it, but then I'm like, nobody would believe it. Like a lot of the things, and we've only touched on an iceberg of just a couple of things,
I'm
right?
serious.
Everything's
So
like,
you could
yeah,
come, you could,
right.
yeah, you could come back for like five more episodes. They if you wrote a book, they could do a movie. Then you could make a bunch of money, retire. Like you could, you are a movie. You are a walking movie script. Seriously, have you thought about just, I'm sure you have. I don't know, I'm not telling you anything, but you could just dictate for a couple of months. You could just make notes through, just constantly just talk into a recorder for 2 or 3 months as you think of stuff. You could give it to a ghost writer and just say, here, turn this shit into a book. I mean, seriously.
I didn't even know ghostwriters existed.
Yes,
The only
me.
ghostwriter I know is from like a TV show back in, I
Yeah,
don't know,
no. Yeah, you seriously can.
the 90s.
So we've launched two books. Riderflex has launched two books as a recruiting firm. I'll tell you how they were written, because I have a podcast with over like 1,000 clips of me just talking into the screen about career advice and job interviewing tips and interviews. I basically took the 1,000 episodes of the podcast and I just gave it to a ghostwriter. I'm like, here, this is it's here's me talking into the screen for the last 4 years. Turn this shit into a book. And that's how it happened. Just so you know. You could do the same thing. You could just talk in, 2 or 3 months, take 3 or 4 months and just make audio notes, whatever. And every time you think of something, every time you think of another story, you don't have to be in any order or anything. And then you just give it to them. So anyway. And by the way,
That's
since it was my idea, if you make a lot of money on the book, then I get 10% royalties.
you get royalties.
Alexis, congratulations on getting your life together. I mean, wow. I bet you meet, though, I guess one of the last things I'll say is you probably meet people sometimes that complain about whatever, right? They think they have some sort of problem in their life. Their daughter didn't get invited to a birthday party and they're mad about it or some petty bullshit. And you're just thinking to yourself, when you get when really bad shit happens to you, come talk to me, because whatever people complain to you about, you're probably like, whatever.
I mean that could be a way that I could look at it, but in all actuality, that whatever they're going through could be traumatic to them
That's
because
true.
they might
They don't.
not have gone through something severe enough for the real traumatic stuff to be known to them. And so I really don't discredit anybody's feelings because you don't know.
Well, you do
You know,
not
that
talk.
could be the most traumatic thing they've went through.
You do not talk like an ex-prisoner. Not even close. Like, you would never know. Like, if I met you at a dinner party and we were around, I was around you for like 2 hours, and then like I was over in a corner, the other side of the room, and somebody's like, "Yeah, she was in prison for a long time." I'd be like, "What?" I would have no idea. Are there people at your company that you work for? Are there people that find out and they're like, huh?
Like I said, I'm kind of an open book here at my company. I've
So they all
done a
know.
lot of events with Breakthrough, and we're
I see.
very fair chance motivated here at Checker. So I think everybody, I'm kind
Knows.
of an advocate for fair chance. So I think everybody at the
Okay.
company knows.
Do they ask you questions? Do you get tired of them asking you questions? So, what was the food like in prison or whatever? Do you get tired of them?
They don't ask questions like that.
No? Well, you come on the podcast, I'll ask you all kinds of questions. I'm a constant. I'm super curious about stuff like that. You know what? You know how lucky I am that I never did prison time. I mean, not that I was like a criminal, but like DUIs or, I don't know, marijuana in my trunk or, you know, the small shit, I guess, but still small stuff maybe compared to what you did. But still, I just feel like I got lucky. I feel like I got lucky. I feel like a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people just get lucky when they're younger. And we, because most of us did dumb things. And some
Everybody has.
people, yeah, and some people just get caught and then they get put in the system and then it just snowballs on them, right? I mean, I was telling somebody, one of the guys that was incarcerated that was on the show before, I was telling him when I was 18, I remember driving a trunk load of marijuana from Oklahoma to Arkansas for a friend of mine. Because he was just like, "Hey, can you take this load to Arkansas?" Of course, I'm at 18. I was like, "Okay, yeah, whatever." I was just, I didn't even think about it. I just did it. And, but now I look back on it and I go, wow, like, okay, I actually could, like, I could, bad things could have happened with that, right?
And
And
back
then if,
then, I think that was a federal case. It might even still be federal.
exactly. And so, see, and so I'm thinking to myself, if I'd have got arrested, what if I would have gotten caught? My entire life could have been different. You know? Probably.
That's
Anyway.
what a lot of people don't think. Like, a lot of people may have all of these negative thoughts about people that have been in prison, and oh, they're horrible people and the worst of the worst, but they don't
No.
understand that the littlest, tiniest thing can end anybody up in prison.
Bingo. There's so, yes, everybody that has been on the show that has done prison time. That's usually what happened. I haven't, in fact, I haven't had any like lifelong true criminals that just, you know, were criminals their whole life on the show. Everybody I've had on the show, a couple of things happened. They got in the system, boom, they're in, right? And then they're in there, and most of them were addicts. Yeah, one little turn left or right, and boom, you're in the system. Somebody told me that 90%, let's see, what was it? I've heard this stat. Tell me if you agree with this. 90% of the people in prison are really good people that just, they made a mistake here or there. And like 10% are psycho lifelong criminals.
Yeah,
Is that about right?
absolutely.
Is that,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Some of the
Anyway.
best people I know will be in prison for the rest of their life.
That is, that's another podcast. We got to talk about helping people on the podcast. Alexis, okay. Thank you very much for sharing your story on the Rider Flex podcast. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.